divine commission, given to fulfill divine commission. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for another day and another time in your presence. Lord, we gladly look forward to this time because we know that you are going to bless us today. Father, if there is a way we have been sowing before and we have not been able to get results by reason of the way we sow, Lord, as a result of your word this morning, we are going to sow in a way that will bring reward in Jesus' name. My Father, my God, we'll begin to sow in a way that will align with your plan and your purpose so that you'll be able to bless us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' wonderful, mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are talking about giving to be able to fulfill the divine commission this morning. Let's open our Bibles to Exodus chapter 36. And I want somebody to read verse 4 to 7 loudly, please. Exodus 36. Somebody will read 4 to 7. Someone else to open to 2 Chronicles chapter 31. And we'll read from 6 to 10. Yes. Yes, please. Praise the Lord. This is a passage we read last week as well. Let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 6 to 10. Just mark this place we've read. Open to 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verse 6 to 10. Yes, last one. Praise the Lord. We see another instance again where the people brought in and there was excess in the house of God. You know, he said, the priest said, we had this plenty and there was excess. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. You can mark that also. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to read verse 2 to 5. 2 Corinthians 8. 2 to 5. Praise the Lord. I also want us to take note of that 2 Corinthians. And then Philippians chapter 4, verse 15 to 19. I want you to start from 15, not 17. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15 to 19. Praise the Lord. Now, it doesn't matter how we start to eat the cake this morning, whether we start from the side or from the top, okay? Because we've read quite a few passages. So I'm just going to start, and I believe I'll be able to communicate what God wants me to share with us this morning. Remember, we are talking about giving to fulfill the Great Commission. Let's start from the last one, Philippians 4, verse 15 to 19. I know we like to talk about Philippians 4, 19. You see, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We like to talk about that. We need to look at the preceding verses and look at what happened there. Paul was, and there's one thing that runs through. There's one thing that runs through the whole thing we have read, you know, starting from Exodus, 2 Chronicles, 2 Corinthians, and Philippians. There's something that runs through. And I think what runs through can be taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5. Let me read it to us. Now, was this gift of theirs merely the contribution that we expected? No. Was the gift of theirs merely the contribution that we expected? But first, they gave themselves to the Lord. Listen to this. First, they did what? They gave themselves to the Lord and to us as his agents, by the will of God, entirely disregarding their personal interests. They gave as much as they possibly could, having put themselves at our disposal to be directed by the will of God. That is the thing that runs through. If you look at the giving, each of these servants of God are reporting the fact that when a call was made out to bring. In fact, if you look at Philippians, Paul was even saying, not because I wanted, but that you people thought it fit to give. Now, if you look at what runs through, is the fact that there was submission in the house. He said, first of all, you gave yourselves to the Lord and to us. So that when there's a commission, when there's something to be done, or there's a need to give, as there is a need to give in the house of God, that it is not somebody who has had to push, but the fact that people were willing to, first of all, give themselves to the Lord and entrust themselves to the servant of God. Now, let's look at one thing there that's very important. Because when you give yourself to God, there's a saying where I come from. They say, he who owns the slave owns the properties, the belongings of the slave, isn't it? In fact, in those days of slavery, when you buy a slave, if the slave has children, they automatically belong to you. Right? Yeah. Everything the slave had, if the slave should pass away, you as the owner of the slave will do what? The property was at your disposal to do whatever you like with it. So in other words, when there is submission to God, everything that you have belongs to him. There will be a submission to also give to him. And that is the thing you will see that runs through and through. He said, first of all, these people gave themselves to the Lord and to us. And I was, you may not notice it, but I think there was a word that ran through to me. I think when we went out a few days ago, somebody talked about the difference between agreement and submission. There's a big difference between agreement and submission. If we are waiting to agree with God, we cannot give. There cannot be giving in a superabundant way. Because he said, first of all, they did not look at their own things. Look at 2 Corinthians. These people were poor. The lesson there is that nobody should say they have nothing to give to the Lord. These people were extremely poor. But because they have given themselves to the Lord, even the little they had also belonged to him. So it was not a problem to actually give it out to the work. So if we are going to be able to give, and the reason we have problem giving is because we have not submitted. We are waiting to agree. When the temple was to be built, if it was going to be based on agreement, let me tell you, 2.5 million people, you probably have half of them against it, half of them for it. But what happened was that they submitted to the authority of the servant of God who said, look, this is what God wants us to do for him. And if you look at 2 Chronicles again, this is the same thing that the people were willing to give. And they gave. If you go back to Exodus, the Bible was actually saying, let's read from the first paragraph here. Just go back. It said, the children of Israel gave sacrificially before the commencement of the building project. But in addition, listen to this. The way I read it, it said, but in addition, they brought yet unto him free offering every morning. Now, listen to this. If we read it and you understand it the way I understand it, it looks like there was a kind of agreement, or it looks like individuals were given a portion or were told what to bring. It looks like there was a sharing. Maybe they say every male bring this, every female bring this, every. But the Bible now says, but in addition means there has been something. Yep, there's something before. But in addition to that, that which was agreed on, the people brought yet unto him free offering every morning. How often? Every morning. They were bringing it until the priest now said, look, this is too much. We have more than enough. We have what? More than enough. A lot of times what happens is that in church, when we want to do project, we have to start levying ourselves. If we already have abundance in the house, that should not even arise. In other words, the church should not go cap in hand trying to solicit or get favor and so on. And that is why a lot of our messages are compromised. Because when there's a project to be done, you have to curry favor, the pastor has to curry favor and be nice to people and so on. In fact, our tithe and our offering sometimes will depend on who the pastor is or whether he's nice to us or not. When the pastor is not nice to us, we won't give offering, we won't pay tithe. Because we don't want there to, it's like we are giving to him. No, it's not to him. If there's submission to God first, we'll see it as a commission that we have to fulfill. It's a very difficult message to preach, giving. Because people are very sensitive about their money. But yet we have to do it. Do you know why we have to do it? That answer is found also in 2 Corinthians. Paul said it. He said, look, let me just read it here. Let me start from verse 3. He said, for as I can bear witness, they gave according to ability. Yes, and beyond the ability, they did it voluntarily, begging us most insistently for the favor and the fellowship of contributing in this ministration for the relief. That's not what I want. Okay. For in the midst of the ordeal of severe tribulation, the abundance of joy and their depth of poverty together have overflowed in wealth of lavish generosity on their part. Now, I want to look at... Sorry, I think I got it wrong. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. No, I think that's where it is. Philippians chapter 4 from verse 15. 4 verse 15, yeah. That's where I want to bring out. Okay. He said, and you Philippians yourself well know that in the early days of the gospel, that is the ministry, when I left Macedonia, no church or assembly entered into partnership with me and opened up a debit and credit account in giving and receiving except you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent me contributions for my needs, not only once, but a second time. Look at this, verse 17. Not that I seek or am eager for your gift, but I do seek and I'm eager for the fruit which increases to your credit, the harvest of blessing that is accumulating to your account. So in other words, when you give, there's a harvest of blessing that accumulates to you. And the reason that the pastor needs to preach giving, tithing, offering, is because of the credit of blessing that will account to you, not because of him. And I believe that God will feed me. God will feed any pastor that will trust in him. Because the psalmist said something. He said, once I was young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed beg for bread. If you preach the word and preach it properly, the problem is that we are caught by anxiety. We are so afraid what the future holds for us. We are so afraid instead of trusting him. And that is why we look unto men to be the ones to provide. Not because the person needs. Look, the reason some people give is not because they think you need something. Recently, somebody did something for us. What did that person do? He just said, this is what they do. He just went and bought flowers. He probably thought that if he gave me money, of course, that, you know, not that I'm rich, praise the Lord, I'm rich in Jesus Christ. But he just, from nowhere, he just brought flowers, you know, fresh flowers, and said, look, I just have to give you something. I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't celebrating. Look, this person, by all means, is my classmate, about age mate, and so on. So it's not as if I have... So there's nothing, you know. But he just said, look, this is... He said, I'm not giving it to you because you are a friend. I'm not giving it to you. I'm giving it to you because you are a servant of God. He said, that's the only reason I brought this to you. And I'm telling you something. I have known people who are looking unto God for something. I have done it. Particularly the first day of the year that I will go to a servant of God and I want to be the first person to give them a present. It's not big, it's nothing. I'll just go. And I've had two servants of God pray some prayer for me. You know? The prayer. You know, there's a prayer that comes from somebody being provoked out of just being overwhelmed. And that prayer will just come. Not because they have planned it. There's a difference between prayers that you think of and say, oh, yeah, let me pray this way. And the one that comes spontaneously. That comes spontaneously. Because the Bible says, he that honors a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. That's one that comes out of, the person has not planned it, and he just says it, you know, into your life. I'm telling you, something will happen. That prayer must come to pass in your life. No, you are not giving to him because he is God over you. He is not. You are giving to him because God says so. You are giving to him because that is what you know to do. Paul said he didn't actually have needs. But these people kept giving. You know. So submission is the only reason why we can give in a super abundant way. There's a question here which we may want to answer. He said, what lesson can we learn from the way the children of Israel continually gave for the work of the tabernacles? And that is, and the question is answered there, that we must not be weary in do what? In well doing. And you know the Bible says, and I keep saying this, say, he who knows to do good and does it not, said to him. In other words, when there is a need to be met, that is why I have one, how do I put it? If you call it a weakness, call it a weakness. If I don't know that there is a need, it's a different thing. But once a need is communicated to me, I find it difficult to say no. I find it difficult to say go and God will bless you. God will open. If I don't have, it's a different thing. If I have, I find it difficult for me to sleep with my conscience. I find it difficult to say no, please go and God will bless you. God will open the doors unto you. God will bless you. God will do. And I know I have it and I can help. It is very difficult for me. If I don't know what I know, it's a different ball game altogether. But after knowing what I know, if somebody comes, it's really very, very difficult. Except I'm not aware of it. It's a different thing. If I don't know, it's a different thing. But once I'm aware of it, once I know, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm in a position, I will try. I've told us before, I've had to borrow money to give somebody. Reason, because I felt I stood a better chance of repaying that money than that woman who needed it. Praise the Lord. It may sound like foolishness, but it is not foolishness. How much more the work of God? How much more the work of God when there is a need in the house? There's a difference between looking for a way to fulfill that great commission. We can look at, oh, how do we go about it? How to, different from not, like we said last week, from not trusting God. We don't have to wait until everything is complete before we go out, launch out to do what God asks us to do. And I want you to know, like Paul said, he said, so that blessings can accumulate or abound unto you. When you give sacrificially, God will look at that heart of giving that you have towards his work, and he will bless you. And everyone that has heard me this morning, God will take you to another realm where you'll be able to not just submit yourself, but submit in totality to God in the mighty name of Jesus. We may not like it, but honestly, that is what it's all about, submission. And when you look at Philippians 4 from verse 15 to 19, I was going to comment on the prayer in verse 19. That prayer did not just come out of the blues. We like to pray it. But Paul prayed it as a result. It was the servant of God that prayed that prayer for the people as a result of their giving. And he said, because you have given faithfully, because you are giving in this instant, before you are giving in this way, not just waiting for somebody to prompt you. He said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And it is the heart with which we give that is important. He said, first of all, they gave themselves, they gave their heart, they submitted themselves to the Lord and to us. So that is very crucial if we are going to fulfill or be able to build for the Lord. Now, I'll just quickly go to this. I'll read here. I say, it is indeed true that givers never lack. Note, however, that God seeks to have your heart before your substance. My son, give me thy heart and let thy eyes observe my ways. That's in Proverbs. So first of all, God wants our hearts. And then, of course, once he's had our hearts, you know what I'm talking about. You know when somebody has your heart. What is it you cannot give them? Sounds familiar, Elgin, when you first started out. I'm sure instead of the guy eating, he would use his money to buy a present for you. You know, when somebody has your heart, he has everything you've got. When somebody has your heart, he has your possessions. When somebody has your heart, look, you are ready to give anything to please them. I remember in those days, those of us who know Lauren, my wife was in the school of midwifery at maternity, you know. And I was in the teaching hospital. I was living around the university. The money I was supposed to spend to eat, I would take taxi with it. And honestly, it was really hard. But I would take taxi to go and say, and when she's going, you know, when she comes, I'll say, oh, I will see you in 5 days' time. Hopefully, I'll be able to endure another 2 days before I go. It doesn't matter. I don't know where the money will come from, but I will spend the money. I will take taxi. Then there was no phone, no telephone call like this. You know, there was no mobile phone. So I'll have to go and see her. When somebody has your heart, he has everything you've got. So the first thing is to submit to God. We have 2 minutes left. Do we have questions? Do we have comments? It's about giving. Questions, comments. It could even be testimony to encourage people. By the grace of God, the financial report of the church should be out very soon. Amen. It's we gave it to the man actually as far back as January, I think. Somehow you ask us to bring this, bring that, and so on. So that's what's been happening. That's why there has not been, you know, a release of the financial report of the church. So it's going to be out very soon. He wrote to us last week, wanting the papers with which we bought the van. So we've sent it to him. So everything should be done and ready very soon. So that, you know, we all can keep track of, you know. So it's about giving so that God can bless us. And the riches of the hidden, God says he's going to transfer it to us. Because when he transfers it to us, we can use it to his glory. But when he transfers it to you and you keep it in your pocket and you keep it in your own, keep it with you, that is not to the glory of God. It's to your own glory. So in case, you know, we want to see the financial statement, we'll bring it out so you can see. So you give. It's not for me. It's for God. Questions? Comments? In case, look, some people, I mean, we are all products of our experiences or something. If you have reasons or something that helps, that stops you from being able to sort of release yourself to give, please ask questions. Let's clarify it here. Yes, give your testimony.
Just 1 minute. Okay.
1 minute.
My name's Jack, and I'm an alcoholic. I've not been cured from alcoholism. The Lord Jesus Christ has given me a gift. I'm an alcoholic till the day I die. If you're a diabetic, you can't have sugar. I'm an alcoholic, I can't have alcohol. Anybody that drinks is not everybody that drinks is alcoholic, but I'm an alcoholic. It's like a diabetic. If you're diabetic, you can't have sugar. And I'm an alcoholic, I can't have alcohol. A lot of people don't understand. This beautiful man here, I thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ, for sending me to this church here, because he's accepted me as I am, not what he wants me to be. And everything he's read there is from the Bible. That's why I come here.
Okay. Jack, can you just give us a testimony as to how God has used giving to bless you or giving to do something in your life? You know, that's what we want.
God,
there will be time for testimony during the service.
That's right.
Giving to, you know, we want to just encourage people. We're talking about giving this morning. So
God has given me a gift. The gift that's been given to me, I'm an alcoholic. I thank God. I thank the Lord Jesus Christ that I'm an alcoholic. Because I know it's the first drink. It's not the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth. It's the first drink. And I don't pick up a drink. And I thank the Lord Jesus Christ that I'm an alcoholic. Because it's very hard to understand. Mm. I need more time. This man here, I'm going to invite him to my place. I'm inviting you to come for tea with your family.
Okay, all right? Good. Praise the Lord. You know, I mean, I know Jack has a lot he wants to say. Every time he really wants to talk about how God has delivered him, which is good, which is quite encouraging. It's just that I want a testimony in relation to giving and at this point, because we're talking about... Okay, praise the Lord. Just.
Thank you, Pastor John. I wanted to talk just about tithing and the testimony there, because I had... God has done something wonderful recently, and... We've been praying. We want Elgin. She's going to be having the baby soon. And we've been praying, God, can you make a way for her to be able to be a stay-at-home mum? And part of what we do, I guess we all do, is we save money and so on. We've been doing this. So from last year, you know, we were saving money and doing things. But, you know, each month it's our savings was getting less and less. And it's like the bank account was getting less and less. And I've been a Christian for a while, and I just started thinking, now, why is this happening? What's going on? Because I know the stories where God made it so the Israelites' sandals didn't wear out all that time in the desert. So God can do things where our life is abundantly provided for. And so I started examining my life, and my confession is I wasn't faithful with my tithing. And I know many people here are very faithful and do the right thing. I wasn't. And then I began to say, okay, must tithe, must do this regularly. But you know what? It actually wasn't like it was close. But it wasn't like here's a tenth of my income. And I just started thinking about these things, and I thought, hang on, this is the only thing God says to test him in. Get this together and see if I won't do all this in your life. And I started doing these things. Now, at that time, the savings had dropped all the way down. And I thought, now how am I going to give out more money each week, and what's going to happen? But started doing that. And within about 6 months, our savings had gone up to where there were so many figures in the savings. And, you know, it was just incredible how much it got up. And I called Elgin into the study one day, showing her the bank account. And I said, where did all this money come from? Where did it come from? No one gave us this big amount of money. But it just kept... God, I don't know how it happened. But over time, it just kept going down, and when I started giving more and was being obedient and came and I you know, apologized to God and started doing that, it just completely turned around. So, and there's more. There's going to be a great testimony I will share with you next week of something else wonderful God is doing. So,
amen. Basically, we are called to live the life of the supernatural. That is what Christianity is all about. The life of the supernatural. And if we are going to live the life of the supernatural, we have to play by the rule of the game. That's what that's what Paul was saying to Timothy. He said, for he that contests must contest what? Lawfully. According to the rule of the game, if we want God to be or to bless us the way we expect him to bless us. So it has to be according to his own standard. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Can you just speak to the Lord this morning? I don't know what your relationship with him is like when it comes to giving, when it comes to tithing, when it comes to laying up in the storehouse of God. I don't know what your relationship is with him. Can you just speak to the Lord this morning? It's a very personal thing. It is not according to public opinion, but it's according to your relationship and your understanding of God. So can we just speak to the Lord this morning? You know how you stand with him. You know where you are. You know your disposition towards doing things for God. Just speak to the Lord this morning. I want to let you know that God intends to bless you. He intends to lift you up more than where you think you are right now. Because he wants to make you a distribution center. He knows if the wealth is in your hands, the world stands a better chance. But if you are not a giver, the world does not stand a chance. The world stands a better chance through your giving. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, we know as a people, we have not reached that mark yet. You said the people, first of all, gave themselves to you. Lord Jesus, we come with a heart yielded, submitting to you this morning. Father, we ask you to take control in the mighty name of Jesus. Our Father and our God, we are not just asking that you bless us. We are asking that you make us a channel of blessing. Because what you said is that you open the windows of heaven unto us such that we will have no room to contain it. In other words, our blessings will overflow, and when they overflow, they will overflow and flow unto other people. They will flow unto your work. They will flow unto everything around us. Let our lives become that kind of testimony in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
This morning, that his spirit is going to come down upon us afresh, and that we're going to experience a new touch from God. Let us be focused to God, even as we go on.
Hallelujah.